Well, greetings, greetings, greetings to each and every. This is Minister Robin here in New Jersey. We are so glad that you joined us, and we welcome you to the Master's Call. We are waiting on the Lord on this Wednesday, and I am going to open us up in prayer. Father, you are so good to us. You are the great I am. You are our keeper. You are our king. You are our strength, and you are our peace. And we wait on you. We acknowledge you. We rejoice knowing that you are in charge of our lives. We thank you for this awesome call that was founded by two beautiful women of God, Dr. P.K. Roberts and Dr. Vanessa Weatherspoon. Thank you, Lord, because they waited on you. They listened to you. They heard you, Lord. And because of their faithfulness to you, we have this call. And thank you for the founders of Artists International, because that's the tool, the thread that's brought many of us together. And we are just honored to be able to come together and spend time rejoicing and praying and thanking you for what you are doing. I thank you for the word that is going to come forward from Pastor Chuck this day, Lord. We thank you that it is a word that's in season, a word that is going to change our lives, a word that we are going to be still, wait, listen, and move forward as you direct us in the mighty name of Jesus. This airway will be cleared. There will not be any hindrances in the name of Jesus. There will not be any drop calls in the mighty name of Jesus. Your word will come forward, Father. It's going to be planted on good ground, and we will move forward knowing that our steps are ordered by you. We're waiting on you for direction in the mighty name of Jesus. Family, I love you. God bless you. And I'm going to turn the call over to Minister Kai. Are you there?
I am here, Minister Robin. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. God bless you.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. First, I want to thank Minister Robin for seating and greeting the family as we have come into the telecommunications sanctuary. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Master's Call. My name is Minister Kai, and I reside in the city of Norcross, Georgia. I want to thank everyone for joining us in the TMC Telecommunications Sanctuary, and we wish you all the warmest of Kingdom's greetings as we begin our day. This call is all about the Master, and as family, we gather early in the morning faithfully to give God reverence, praise, honor, and glory as we begin our day. The Master's Call was founded on October 25th, 2010, by two dynamic, amazing women of God, Dr. P.K. Roberts, the Ambassador of Artists International, and Dr. Vanessa Weatherspoon, affectionately known as our Mother Eagle. When God gave the mandate, he also founded the call on Scripture. And that scripture reference is Psalms 88:13, and it says, "But to you I have cried out, O Lord, and in the morning my prayer comes before you." And he also gave them a mission, because a mandate without a mission is nothing. And that mission is to enrich, enhance, and empower believers as we begin our day. So here on the Master's Call, we start the call in prayer as Minister Robin did. We end the call with prayer, and we pray that you continue faithfully each day in prayer. This call is brought to you live every Monday through Friday, every Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Central, and 5 a.m. Pacific Time by dialing 712-432-0075, the pin code 957-677 pound. You should post that on your social media, tweet it, Instagram it, do whatever you can, because the people need to be here. And that number again is 712-432-0075, pin code 957-677 pound. And if you want to listen to that day's message again, if you need a replay, if you need to remix it and hear the word of God again, you can always call in that same day at 712-432-1085 using the same PIN code, 957-677 pound. All of the messages are recorded and archived from the inception of the call and can be played back by visiting our website. The website address is themasterscall.net. That's themasterscall.net. If you are feeling led to join the team, you want to be a prayer intercessor, if the word has given you a word in your belly, if you have a praise report or a prayer request, please email it to us at info@themasterscall. That's I-N-F-O at the Master's Call. And Dr. Vanessa Weatherspoon or our prayer general, Minister Robin, will get back with you. Immediately following this call is the MMC call hosted by our Platinum President and Godmother, Dorothy Cook, and a host of other Platinums and dynamic leaders throughout Artists International that keep us informed, energized, and moving to enhance the lives of others. That number is 530-881-1300, PIN code 539-598#. Again, that's 530-881-1300, PIN code 539-598#. And every Wednesday, our very own Dr. P.K. Roberts hosts the Ambassador's Call on the MMC. So make sure you get on the Ambassador's Call this morning. Father's Day weekend, all roads lead to Orlando, Florida, for the Artist Global Conference Spectacular, hosted by our very own Kings of Artists. That's June 13th through the 15th, and it's a family affair. Please visit the website for more information, to get registered, to get hotel information, and that website is artistempowermentconference.com. That's artistempowermentconference.com. There will be a church service on Sunday hosted by the TMC family. If you are interested in helping with the service, please send an email to info@themasterscall.net. That's info@themasterscall.net. So now I'm going to move out of the way so that this man of God can come before us with what thus says the Lord. Pastor Chuck Brown is the senior pastor of one of the most exciting and powerful ministries in the New Orleans area, Kingdom Builders Family Worship Center. He states on his Facebook page that he is married to the most wonderful woman in the world, Marcia Brown, of 15 years, and the father of the best son and daughter in the world, Charles III and Christina Eve. Pastor Chuck is a graduate of Morehouse College in Business Administration, and he loves his wife, Marcia, and she is a graduate of Spelman. Pastor Chuck has been pastoring for 6 years. He states he's experienced highs and lows, Hurricane Katrina being one of them, but God has been faithful and good to them as they remain consistent in their assignment and purpose. Pastor Chuck stated, started with 16 people and now has 450-plus members. To God be the glory. Pastor Chuck is the author of the newly revised The Death of a Desperate Woman, and I must say it is an amazing book. You need to get your copy. His musical group, Chuck's Maestros and YV, will be releasing their newest album, Crossing Over, shortly. If you would like more information on his ministry, you can go to his Facebook page, Pastor Chuck Brown, or visit his ministry at www.kbfwc.org. Without any further ado, Pastor Chuck, can you come to the line?
Amen. Good morning.
Good morning. Take it away, Pastor Chuck.
Amen. Thank you so very much, Minister. We praise God for you, Minister Robin, and, of course, our founders, Dr. P.K. Roberts, Dr. Vanessa Weatherspoon. We're grateful to God for each of you who are on this line this morning. And as she said, we want you can follow up on our ministry, www.kbfwc.org, and you can go there even to get the book. And I believe it's going to bless your life. It's in several formats. The ebook is available. The paperback is available. And starting June 2nd, we will have the audio book available as well. So all formats will be available. But I want to get right to the assignment that God has given me. And we're going to look at two scriptures, Colossians 3, verses 12 to 13, and Matthew 6, verses 14 through 15. Colossians 3, 12 through 13, Matthew 6, verses 14 through 15. And I'm going to read it out of the New Living Translation. It reads a little different from the King James, but it is still the Word of God. It reads as follows: Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. If you forgive those who sin against you, this is Matthew 6, 14, 15. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. I want to begin ministering in a series entitled My Release is My Release. My Release is My Release. Honestly, you all are getting a preview of a book that I will be releasing real soon on forgiveness. It's going to be something that's going to bless, I believe, the world, because when I look around, I see so many people who are trying to move into a new season, but they're holding on to the last season, and they're stuck where they are. They want to move forward, but the difficulties of life have them stuck. And I believe that people really want to be free. They want to be liberated. And we understand here today that God never wants us to be stuck in anything. Series is all about forgiveness. It's not going to be one of those easygoing messages where it just gets you excited, but I know that it's going to touch your heart. Forgiveness is hard to minister on because the Word of God, sometimes when it deals with forgiveness, is painful to us when we've encountered something that we don't like. Forgiveness is one of those subjects that's touchy because you really don't know what people have been through. You don't know the horrors that people have gone through, and you have no idea of what they've had to endure, from rape to abandonment to molestation to abuse to misuse, homelessness, failing relationships, so forth. These type of events require more than the covering of a bandage. It requires serious surgery. And now I understand that all surgery is serious, but you can't tell me that getting a cast on a broken limb is the same as a heart transplant. I'm sorry, but people not speaking to you is not the same as a family member or a trusted guardian violating you. People talking about your child is not the same, does not have the same impact as those who have lost a child through violence or anything else. This is ugly. It's not a cute series. It's not designed to be a feel-good series. Surgery is painful. Don't fool yourself. Being anesthetized does not take away the pain of the surgery. I remember a few years back, and with your permission, I'm not gonna rush through this. I'm gonna take my time, and however many weeks it takes to get through all of this, it's gonna be okay. But I remember some years back, I had a boil, and this boil was in a very inconvenient spot. I was so bad until I had to go to the emergency room. They rushed me to the back because poison had begun to set in my body, and they numbed the area that they had to conduct the lancing. And upon completion, informed me that I was going to have to stay in bed for a few days. But you know how men are. I'm our pride gets in the way. I can handle this. And I asked the doctor. I said, "Well, what do you mean stay in bed, doc? I'm straight. You did what you had to do, and I don't feel the pain." And he responded, "The only reason you don't feel the pain right now is because of the anesthesia. Trust me, when it wears off, you won't have the strength to get up and go." This was maybe 3 or 4 months after I had just started pastoring, so there was no way I was going to miss my service. That was until the medication wore off. I woke up around 4 o'clock that morning in excruciating pain and agony. It felt like somebody had beat my body up. And that's how it is in life. There are some things that happen, and you have to allow God to get in those areas where the pain is. And while he's working on you, you feel okay, but then there's a recovery period. And during that recovery period, it's very painful. And I need you to understand that sometimes forgiveness has a recovery period that hurts. And so for the next few weeks, we're going to focus on three areas in particular: reflection, release, and reconciliation. Trust me, these things are going to bless your life. As I've been studying and researching on this, God has been dealing with me. But my release is my release. I need you to get that in your spirit. Your release is your release. I can't be released until I release. I can't be healed until I release. I can't be made whole until I release. I can't be restored until I release. I cannot be truly happy and full of joy until I release. I'm depressed because there's something that I've embraced and held on to in my life that I must release. I must release. I must let go of. And I need to spend today and possibly next week telling you what forgiveness is not. I can't tell you how to release and forgive and be reconciled until you understand that there's a lot, you know, a lot of what we think forgiveness is not. And it's so important because if I disprove the myths of forgiveness, then it will allow you to embrace fully the true God-centered principles of forgiveness. In Romans 3:23, very familiar passage, King James says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The first principle I need you to get of what forgiveness isn't. To forgive does not mean that you approve or diminish sin. To forgive does not mean that you approve of or diminish sin. Let me say this right off the bat. This scripture is not a justifier of wrongdoing. Just because Paul wrote this does not mean that we should go, you know, we should just let go and do whatever we want. It is, however, stating that all of us have found ourselves in sin, and all of us have fallen short of God's glory. Trust me, you either have disobeyed God or not done everything you could to please him. But here it is. Forgiveness has no bearing on the fact that wrong is wrong. Forgiveness has no bearing on the fact that sin and transgression are just what they are. Just because I forgive you for hurting me does not mean that I approve of what was done to me. Nor is it us making statements like, well, it's okay, you know, nobody's perfect, everybody makes a mistake, it's not really a big deal, worse things have happened. Well, no, it is a big deal. Pastor, why is it such a big deal? Sin is such a big deal that in order for it to be dealt with, God had to send his only son to deal with it, die for it, suffer for it. In fact, it's such a big deal that Jesus had to take on all of our sins on his shoulders just to kill the power that it had and its effects over our lives. So I can forgive a murderer without condoning a murder. I can forgive a thief without condoning the act of robbery and stealing. You understand what I'm saying? That forgiveness does not mean that I approve of the action that took place. Here's the second thing. To forgive does not make you an enabler. To forgive does not make you an enabler. In Galatians 6:1-2, I'm doing something that I normally don't do, but I want to support everything that I'm sharing with the Word of God, so these scriptures are important to the message. Galatians 6:1-2, again, New Living Translation. Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person right back on the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. An enabler is a person who encourages negative or self-destructive behavior in another. We enable our kids' selfishness when we give them everything they want. We enable our loved ones when we don't say no to things we know are destructive. We give them money to support their habits or overlook destructive behavior. Don't allow people to make you feel like if you forgive, you enable. This verse is very telling. It says, if someone who is a believer sins, you who are godly, stop right there. The problem with most church folk is that we're churched, but we're not godly, because godly people understand the importance of not just exposing wrong, but helping people to recover. I don't need you to just point out my bad. I also need you to help me get out of my struggle if I get caught up. Godly people don't talk about, they just don't talk about folk who've messed up. They embrace these individuals and help them to get back up if they fall. And when I forgive a person, it doesn't mean that I am enabling them to continue bad or destructive behavior. It just shows that I will be there to help them recover. The rest of the verse states to help them get back on the right path. That's why I have to forgive you, because there was a point when I needed help to get back on track as well. It doesn't say to help them get back up and keep going in the direction of the sin, but to help them get back on track on the right path. Verse 2 goes further. It says, bear each other's burdens. Listen, we don't enable each other. We bear the burdens of one another. Just because I'm helping you up does not mean that I've embraced the reason for the fall. I'm helping you by sharing with you the burden to help you get off of the road that's leading you the wrong way and bring you down the path that's going to lead you back towards your destiny. Listen, you can forgive somebody without enabling their sin or participating in it. You can have a family member or friend who's an addict, for example, and forgive them without enabling them. Forgiving is not enabling. Forgiveness can include confrontation and rebuke, and sometimes it must. But if you get caught up, I have a responsibility as a believer to confront you about it so that you can get it right. And then when you get it right, I still have to let that thing go in my life. Number three, to forgive does not mean that you deny wrongdoing. Now, this is for all those folk who live in imaginary land. You don't have to act like nothing happened in order for you to move on from it. Sort of like Mark 11 and 24, when Jesus said, if you say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, if you don't doubt in your heart but believe that what you said, all of those things. Jesus never said, act like there's no mountain. He never said, come to the place and act like there's no mountain. No, there's a very real mountain. There's a very real situation in front of you, and you can talk to this very real situation and tell it to get out of the way. Why do believers feel like we have to pretend something didn't happen in order for us to get our healing? That's dangerous. It's dangerous because pretty soon it will come back up, and you can go around if you want talking about, child, I ain't let it bother me, it ain't affecting me, I forgot about all of that. If that's the case, then if that's the truth, then why do we bring it up in every conversation? Why are our posts on social media sites insinuating that something has happened to you? I believe, and it's just me, that if you have to say that didn't hurt me, then it probably did hurt you. In Matthew 18:15, I'm not going to really get into the meat of this scripture, but I want to point out something. Matthew 18:15, it says that if another believer sins against you, go privately and point out the offense. And if the other person listens and confesses, you would have won that person back. Now, we're not talking about reconciliation right now, but I need you to understand. It says, Jesus is talking here, if somebody sins against you, don't act like it didn't happen. Go privately and point out the offense. But that's not what we do. We fake. Church did this to people. God never said to pretend. Listen, faith isn't pretending. Get that. Faith is not pretending. If I ask you how you feel after I pray for you, you don't have to lie and act like you're not in pain. The truth of the matter is we live most of our lives acting like stuff didn't bother us when it actually does. I remember that there is a phrase when I was growing up, and I'm not sure if all of you heard this, but sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt you. Man, whatever. Listen, words do hurt. If you slap me, it hurts. If I get fired, it hurts. If I'm done wrong, it hurts. If a parent wasn't there for me like I needed them to be, that hurts. And just because I forgave you does not mean it was not wrong. We'll get into it again, this verse, in a few weeks. But there are some things that I must confront regardless of how uncomfortable it is to do so. But I cannot confront what I do not acknowledge. Stop acting like everything is fine when it isn't so that you can release it and then get your release. Here's number four. To forgive does not mean you wait for an apology. Now, I'm about to mess up some folk right now. Listen, some of y'all have taken the position that you will forgive them as soon as they say that they're sorry. I hate to break it to you, but some people are never going to apologize. Some folk will continually do crazy, foolish, and hurtful things to you. Some people will be so stuck in their ways and never confess that they did you wrong. I mean, to the point where they will look you in the face and lie that they did not do what you're accusing them of. They won't admit that they were wrong in a situation. And some people will go even further by stop speaking in you, acting funny with you, putting you in the hashtags as if you did them something. Yes, I'm still telling you, though, that forgiveness has nothing at all to do with their apologies. Remember, your release is your release. It's not their release. It's yours that brings forth your release. Therefore, their apology cannot be the determining factor as to whether or not you release them. I found out something that's going to surprise y'all, and I'm closing with this. I found out that venomous snakes can strike at you, bite you, release their venom into your body, and then slither away. My crying does not change the fact that I've been bit. My panic does not cause the poison to leave. My venting and my rants about how much I did for the snake, I took the snake to the movies, I helped him when he couldn't pay his bills, has no effect at all on what's happening inside of me. If I want to be free of the venom, I have to get the poison out of me without worrying about the snake. If the snake never apologizes, I still got to get the poison out of me. If the snake never comes back and has a conversation with me about what it did to me, I still have have to get it out of me, because the poison isn't killing the snake. The poison is killing me. Is there anybody else tired of allowing other people's venoms to course through your veins while they slither away and go on with their lives? Listen, instead of spending time trying to hunt them down, get the help that you need in getting the poison out of your life. Do not go another day, another hour. Don't spend another second walking around with poison in your life, because it's destroying you. It's hardening your heart. It's causing you to live in a way that God never intended for us to live in. How can the joy of the Lord be our strength when we have so much poison that is stifling all the strength that the Lord wants to put in us? It's blocking the effects of the Holy Spirit, because we won't get everything out of us, Lord Jesus. In the body of Christ, we have this wonderful gift of forgiveness, that if we just let stuff go, it immediately frees us. I did an example of this on Sunday. I had somebody hold a towel, and I asked them to give it to me. As they were given to me, I whispered in the guy's ear, I said, "Hold on to it." That's what we do. We're trying to give it to God, yet we're holding on to it, when all we have to do is just release it, as we're going to see in a few weeks. And when you release it, it's no longer your problem. It's no longer your issue. It now becomes God's. And if the person never gets it right with you, it still doesn't matter, because I'm free now. Oh, this is going to be one of those rough series of lessons, man. I hope this blessed your life. Please pray for me as I continue on this assignment. I love you with God's love. There's nothing you can do about it. Be blessed. I'll turn the call back over.
My God, my God, my God. What a powerful word, Pastor Chuck. We're going to go to the Father in prayer. Father God, in the name of the Most High Jesus, thank you, thank you, thank you for the mouthpiece with the message this morning, Pastor Chuck Brown. And knowing that my release is my release, touch and continue to pour into him, his family, his ministry, his life, as he so effectively poured out all that you have given him into us. We thank you for all that you are working out with this word. Give us the heart for forgiveness. Give us the heart and the ability to be able to be still and hear this message that's coming forth. We thank you. We thank you for the ability to readily forgive others the way you forgive us, God. We release it right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, you know every need on this line. You know every prayer request, spoken and unspoken. And we release them all to you right now in the name of Jesus. We don't want to be that man still holding on to it. We want to release it and allow it to be yours, because we know that you will work it out perfectly, Father. So we thank you, we magnify you, and we praise you. And we know that you know the needs of your people. We know that we don't have to speak a word, and you know what's in our heart, Lord. Because man looks at the outward, but you search the heart. And we thank you for that, Father. Meet the needs of your people. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. I'll give you a few quick announcements and bring Pastor Chuck back for our benediction. First, we want to say a happy, 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 happy birthday to our sister Jackie in Indianapolis. We know that you are celebrating today, and we, the TMC family, Dr. Vanessa and Dr. PK Roberts, are celebrating you as well. So we wanted to make sure we shouted out happy birthday to you, Jackie, and to let you know just how much we love you. Again, immediately following this call is the MMC call, and today it is Wednesday, so it is the ambassador's call, and that number is 530-881-1300, PIN code 539-598 pound. Again, Father's Day weekend, all roads lead to Orlando, Florida, and the Artist Global Conference Spectacular, hosted by our very own Kings of Artists. That's June 13th through the 15th, and it's a family affair. Pastor Chuck, can you please come back and give us our benediction?
Amen. Father, we're grateful for all that we received on today. Grateful for all of the requests and petitions that have been sent before you. I ask now that this day would be a great day. Let it be the greatest day. Let it be the one most wonderful day of release and relief and joy and favor. Thank you for doors that will be opening on today, windows of opportunities. and I thank you, God, that you're pouring down into our lives. Allow people to see you through our lives. And let us be great billboards for the kingdom of God. We give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless all of you.